All right, welcome to the Sports Gamble Podcast. This is try number three. Let's see if we can get this right.
We'll try number three, but podcast number two.
Right. Okay. Welcome to the Sports Gamble Podcast. My name is Isaac. I'm here with Manny. Manny, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. Did I mention about changing the name?
Changing your name?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it?
Oh, Manuel.
Manuel, I like it. That's
cool.
A good name.
Let's do it.
It almost sounds like your real name.
Manny. I know, right? Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Desiree will be happy with that.
Yeah, she's happy.
Good, good. Oh,
whoops. Okay. Anyways, you want to just dive right in? What's the date today?
I don't know, but this is our second podcast of the summer.
Friday, June 24th.
Friday, June 24th.
And it's pretty significant. Not because the Brits decided to secede from the European Union, but the greatest film ever made has just had a sequel today.
What's that?
Independence Day.
the greatest film ever made, right. It's right up there with...
The Godfather?
I was going to say Sharknado.
Oh, no, The Godfather. We'll work off The Godfather.
Okay, well... We're not movie experts. Well, you might be, but and we are definitely not fantasy football experts, you know, but you should listen to us anyways. All of our fantasy football advice, you know, we don't really use stats to back it up or data analysis. We like to just talk out of our ass a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the main reason why you should listen.
Well, okay. Well, let's delve straight in because I just can't wait to get into this. I mean, like just the top 10, for example.
All right. So,
like I said, or like my colleague Mr. Rocha stated, these are from ESPN football rankings. Okay.
Right, and we're just using these rankings in particular because it's convenient, easy to print up, easy to pull up. We're used
very
to them.
Accessible,
and you can use any rankings you want. We're going to use ESPN because it's our podcast and that's what we want to do.
Fair enough. Do you want to count them down or what do you think?
Well, first of all, let me just state this about running backs this year. And we're going to get into this more when we talk about wide receivers. But I feel like this is definitely a year where you want to focus on wide receivers because you want to take more risks with running backs in the later rounds. And when I say later, I mean like rounds like 3, 4, and 5, you might want to consider taking your first running backs in those rounds, but only if you want to win. I mean, if you don't want to win, go ahead and take Adrian Peterson first, by all means.
Oh, man, I can't believe he's ranked number one.
According to ESPN, he's ranked number one right now, but it's late June, about to be early July, so there's still plenty of time for Adrian Peterson to... I don't know, get into the news with some negative attention in some way. I can't imagine that happening to him, but let's say it does.
I did predict someone shooting themselves at a club.
That was a good prediction, by the way. The Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I keep Talib. Regardless, nonetheless, you know what? Let's go with number 10, Thomas Rawls. Really? He's really a top 10?
Well, Seattle loves to run the ball. They love to air it out, which gives space for them to run. There's no Marshawn Lynch. Thomas Rawls did great when Marshawn Lynch was out.
They don't love to air it out. Russell just scramble and get out of a bad situation, and there's like a busted coverage, and then he throws a touchdown. That's the Minnesota Vikings. And that's just one play he made in that game, and they won them the game.
Are you still bitter? Did you have money on that game?
No. I had the Vikings. They covered +5.5. I'm not even bitter. I'm just saying. You said they air it out like they're the greatest show on turf. You know, the second coming. They don't air it out, bro.
All right. Well, like I said, we don't use stats, but I think Russell Wilson likes to throw it downfield a little bit.
You couldn't even find Jimmy Graham. Regardless, this isn't the tight end show. Okay, but I'm not here to contradict you. I'm just okay. Top 10.
Hey, contradiction's fine.
Okay, so...
That's good.
Mark Ingram, number 9. I just hate all the running backs, I guess, but...
You hate all the running backs in the top 10?
No, I'm just... No, I would say... Okay, I hate 1, 2, 3...
Say their names. Give us some names.
Okay. At number 5, they have David Johnson.
I
hate him
one.
At number 5. You think he's number 1?
He could be number 1,
I don't
sure.
think he's number 1.
I'll tell you this, the way he ended last year and the way he won people money at the end of the year.
They had no choice, bro. Like that, I could see that as it being like a stable where you don't know who's going to get the ball, because while he is the most explosive, like that offense really missed Chris Johnson, believe it or not, because he was a rushing threat. I mean, they just had ask Carson Palmer. David Johnson was great, you know, kept catching balls behind, you know, catching balls out of the backfield, I should say. But he's not like a real rushing threat. He's going to carry the ball 25 times. Are you kidding me?
You just said it right there. Catching balls out of the backfield. That's where he provides the extra value.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that it's not going to garner the number 5 overall running back in all of an NFL football, you know, in professional football. And by, you know, I'm saying split committee is Chris Johnson and the other kids. The kid out of Clemson? Let me see. Excuse me. You could edit a lot of this stuff. What's his name?
Yeah, I don't know.
I put on here splits. Oh crap, he's way down here. Okay. Andre Ellington. Yeah, like Andre Ellington, Chris Johnson, David Johnson. I'm granting you, he is the most talented. David Johnson is the most talented, and he has the most upside. Okay, mm-hmm. But he's not the number 5 ranking. I would have Devontae Freeman up top over him, you know. I know Doug Martin, Mr. Consistency, probably over him. And if you want to go straight up on just potential, I'd probably have Lamar Miller over him, because Lamar Miller is not going to share the ball with anybody.
So you and I disagree sharply on David Johnson. And that's fine. I think I would rather have David Johnson than Devontae Freeman, than Doug Martin.
I mean, you're going him number 1 overall.
Like, no. I'd rather have Ezekiel Elliott or Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
Number 1.
Yeah.
Okay. To be honest. But that's my number 1 running back. I'm not going to spend a first round pick on these guys.
Okay, let me ask you something, okay? Who was the most disappointing running back in the NFL last year that he got very drafted very high? And regardless, I mean, this wasn't injury that let you down as an owner.
I'm going to have to go with C.J. Anderson or
Eddie Lacy to me, bro.
Or Eddie Lacy.
Eddie Lacy was taken very highly, and all he did was he couldn't put down Subway sandwiches, and apparently they were the extra mayonnaise, because how is he number 11 even this year? You know what I mean? He's ahead of Jamal Charles, LeSean McCoy, Jonathan Stewart. I mean, and we know what Chip does with running backs. They definitely perform. LeSean McCoy had his best career year under Chip Kelly, and now you have Carlos Hyde. I mean, this is just ridiculous. I don't know how Eddie Lacy's number 11. I really don't think anybody besides Packer fans are going to take him, you know, in the top 4 rounds, 5 rounds. I wouldn't even take him at all, but
that's going to be tough. No, I agree with you there with Eddie Lacy. I'm not going to go near him. If he performs well, you know, great to whoever drafts him. Good for you. You got a good value. One guy I want to talk about real quick and get your thoughts. Jamal Charles. Consistency. You know when he's on the field, you know he's going to get you solid points every time.
Yeah, it's going to be
he's going to get you yards,
20
he's get
points
you catches,
a game, I would say.
But he's coming off his second major injury. And last time he bounced right back, and it was great.
He's 29. He'll be 30 in December.
We saw other running backs perform well when he was gone. What can we expect from Jamal Charles this year? And seeing him this far down on the list, 12, I mean, that's far down for the Jamal Charles that we're used to. I mean, we're used to him. He's a no-brainer top 3 pick.
Yeah, last year, I mean, and right now, even if he hadn't had that injury, he'd probably be right in there with the Le'Veon Bells and Todd Gurley's of the world. Probably right where Ezekiel Elliott's at number 4. I don't think anybody can really argue with me on that one. You know, I hope for the best. The only thing I can say is at least he's not 30. So if you want to, you know, go ahead and pick him up. I think there's a lot of value there. But don't count on him in the playoffs, in the fantasy playoffs, you know, because I really think there's a lot of wear and tear on that body. I mean, he's not a big frame. And he definitely knows how to fall, and he knows how to find the sidelines. And I like it that he's with Andy Reid. But I think 12 is right about right. But if you ask me, do I want Jamal Charles or Eddie Lacy? You have Eddie Lacy, number 11, Jamal Charles. Give me Jamal Charles, you know? Give me LeSean McCoy. Give me Jonathan Stewart. Give me Carlos Hyde.
Give me none of the above except hide.
Yeah, but you're a Niner fan, so.
Full disclosure, I'm a Niner fan, and I did draft Colin Kaepernick last year in a league that I did very poorly in.
Coincidence?
Not really.
Exactly.
All right, so there's another guy on the list that has been performing very well, really consistent. Moved teams. Matt Forte. He's a New York Jet now. And he's kind of taking over for Chris Ivory. Chris Ivory's no longer on the Jets.
He's with the Jaguars.
He's with the Jags, and we'll get to him. But Matt Forte has been, like, very consistent with the Chicago Bears. If you drafted Matt Forte, unless he's been injured, which he really hasn't even been injured, you were happy with the results. But now he's not on the Bears. Now he's with the Jets. The Jets ran pretty well last year with Chris Ivory and Bilal Powell. What can we expect from Matt Forte this year? I mean, he's getting up there in age, but he hasn't really given us any reason to doubt him.
I would say he has. As of last year, he started to wear down. I mean, that's why we know the name Jeremy Langford, right? Because right. Jeremy Langford covered for him. I still think he can be somewhat productive. I know we've had discussions about him, and I'm probably higher on him than you are on him. And it's scary because, gosh, the Jets quarterback situation is so crappy. Even if old beard face, what's his name? Fitzpatrick?
Fitznatrick?
Yeah, yeah. My lucky charm comes to play. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I hope the best for him. I mean, they even had a couple linemen move on. One retired. Ferguson, their left tackle, moved on. So I hope, you know, I wish Matt Forte the best. And he can definitely, whoever is the quarterback, actually, he's going to catch a lot of balls. He's still going to catch balls. So, yeah, I would say he's still valuable. I would say right. He's still valuable.
I would say so, too. And honestly, I would rather have him over the guys he's bunched with on this ranking, which is C.J. Anderson at 17 and Jeremy Hill at 19.
Oh, he just happened
I don't want those
you
guys.
You just bypassed Deion Lewis?
No, okay, I'm going to get to him right now because I want to make this point. And this point is, I do not want a running back who does not catch passes, okay? Most fantasy football leagues now are PPR. All of them I'm in are PPR. One is half-point PPR, but even then, it's still very valuable to have a running back who catches passes, if not for the receptions, but for the yards. And someone who helped us out immensely in one of our big money leagues—
bailed us out.
—was Deion Lewis.
Dude, we probably would have won that league if he was healthy.
Probably, and we came very close to winning, but it's okay.
I don't like to think I'm not the coulda, woulda, shoulda guy. You know, I'm not the guy, oh, I should have put more on the Cavs. You know, no, I'm not even like that. So I did what I did. That's what I thought was worth the risk. But Deion Lewis would have definitely helped us win a lot. You know, the championship. We were in the championship game.
But my point is, someone like C.J. Anderson and Jeremy Hill, who aren't seeing a lot of catches— especially Jeremy Hill.
Oh, great segue. Oh, man. You know, like, Jeremy Hill, right? Okay, so you have Jeremy Hill listed at number 19, right? And then they have Giovanni Bernard listed at 33. And I definitely think that he's more valuable than Hill, you know? So great value, big time.
Right. And these are initial rankings. It's early. This could change depending on how mock drafts go, depending on how the preseason plays out. But we're just kind of looking at these initial rankings and giving our reactions to them. But Deion Lewis, okay, back to him really quick.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming off an injury.
Mm-hmm.
But before the injury, he was given a long-term contract by the Patriots, which if you know the Patriots, they're not hesitant to get rid of a running back that they don't think can be productive. So the fact that they gave him that contract to me says that they believe in him, they want to use him, and they like him.
Yeah, they only make investments worthwhile. Like, ask Aaron Hernandez, how much money do they give him?
Gave him a lot of money.
No, but you know what? I think the Patriots are going to be back at it. They're going to Deion Lewis is going to be back, and then they're going to use that double tight end set with Martellus Bennett. They should have a healthy offensive line once more. Let me ask you this: there's been some rumors going around the internets that Arian Foster might end up there. Would you like that for him? Would you find that ideal?
I don't care. I'm not drafting Arian Foster this year. If he's available in week one or two waivers after playing for a team, then I'll consider it. But as of now, I'm not considering Arian Foster. But back to Deion Lewis really quick.
I think there's a lot of value with him. I really do, because he catches a lot of balls. He's real shifty in the open field. And just to throw in my two cents, I don't want him to go to the Pats, because I don't think that they've had a free agent running back succeed since, like, Corey Dillon. I'd like to see him go to, like, maybe the Panthers, Packers, Skins. Anyways, go ahead.
Just back to Deion Lewis really quick. So I think if you can somehow get Deion Lewis as your second, maybe third running back, it's going to be really hard, especially because I think you should get wide receivers first, even tight ends. You might want to consider Deion Lewis in the fifth, sixth round if he's still there, but you're going to probably have to stash him at the beginning of the year. I don't think he's going to be fully back from his injury at the beginning of the season, especially without Tom Brady there anyways.
I think he'll be there. I think his value is going to drop because I don't know. I don't think the Patriots are going to want to show him up or, you know, really put him, give him play time because of his injury.
Not just that. I think no Tom Brady is really going to affect this offense. And
so is that a fact? By the way, so you're telling me that you think you believe Tom Brady is going to miss four games?
As of now, he's missing four games. I don't think it's going to be.
I don't think he's missing four games.
Two?
I don't think he's missing any games.
You don't think he's missing any for the second year in a row?
The spreads tell me he's not missing any games, bro.
If he's not missing games, Goodell got to go. I mean, that's 2 years in a row where Goodell basically he's wrong.
I haven't read anything, but from what I've heard on innuendo on radios and podcasts, and this is coming from Mecca, you know, Las Vegas, they're talking about how Brady, through litigation, could just drag this out. And why would he not? Why would he not drag it out? You think he's just going to comply with Goodell, of all people, and just be like, oh, okay, I'll miss four games? Heck no.
Okay. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. Like I said, there's a lot of time from now to the beginning of the season, but right now he's suspended for four games. So I'm going on what's happening now. And either way, with his injury late in the season, I don't think Deion Lewis is going to be up to speed for the first quarter of the season, which is 4 weeks.
Okay, I got a couple questions for you.
All right.
Okay, so obviously Lamar Miller, we were believers. He left to Houston. He's now Houston Texans, for those of you that you don't know. And mind you, he's even rated, I think, number eight in these. Yeah, he's number eight running back in these rankings. Do you believe in his the guy who he handed over the keys to, I guess, Jay Ajayi? He's the second year out of Boise State.
All right. I don't know. Okay. Because, and this is the reason why I don't know.
Well, I mean, are you drafting him? You're straight out not drafting a couple guys that you stated. We are not, as far as you know, I mean, Arian Foster, goodbye. Matt Forte, no. CJ Anderson, no.
Last year, the Miami Dolphin running back situation, I know their coaching situation has changed, but it was so weird. Lamar Miller would just ball out in the first half of a game and then disappear.
And not get two carries, yeah. Well, mainly because they're behind.
Or their quarterback would ball out for a quarter and something would change.
Balling out for a quarterback is nothing. He sucks. I really don't like
Okay. That's another reason to be skeptical, too. It's like there's a lot of question marks with that team. So,
yeah, you're right. I mean, but if it came down to, I mean, they have Jay Ajayi here at number 20 and Latavius Murray at 21. You know, are you just going to draft another tight end or what? You know?
Well, okay. So this is what I'm getting at. I think you're going to win your league based on if you can get a quality running back after the first couple rounds. So now we're getting into
the rankings. Yeah.
We're getting into the running backs where we feel like we can probably make some money. And here's a guy I like.
Okay.
Jeremy Langford.
I was going to ask you, are you buying Jeremy Langford?
I am, because I know that Chicago likes to run the ball. I know Chicago, and specifically Jay Cutler, likes the dump-off pass. They have the same offensive coordinator. Jeremy Langford performed well. And at number 23, if he's your first running back you get, maybe in the third or fourth round, probably in the third round, But if you can somehow get Jeremy Langford in the fourth round as your number one running back, that means you already probably have two really good receivers, a really good tight end or quarterback. Now you got Jeremy Langford. I think you're doing really good for yourself. I like Jeremy Langford.
I'm going to have to disagree, but I think he's a real crapshoot, and he can't be your first running back. I think you're going to have to go with more of a sure thing than that. It just depends how it falls, because like, these are really, really early. These are early rankings, but I'm not a buyer on Langford.
All right. Well, what about this guy? 2 years ago, he was a rushing champion.
Are you talking about Justin Forsett?
No, I'm talking about DeMarco Murray.
Oh, no, I'm straight.
He's on a new team. Tennessee, they got a good young quarterback. They got some wide receivers.
They drafted a running back in the second round, the kid out of Alabama. So I think he's pretty good. And he runs pretty high. So, I mean, it just hopefully he can catch a lot of balls, you know, help out Mariota. But just an unknown. They have Matt Jones here at 25. Do they know that he doesn't hang on to the football?
He likes to fumble it, but he's very talented. He showed that in flashes last year. If he can somehow get the majority of the work, I think he's really good. Here, I think he has really good upside.
Check this out. Check this out. Okay, so we talked about Ivory, right? He left the Jets. He went to the Jaguars. Real interesting guy. I didn't touch him at all last year. Mostly, I don't really touch Alabama running backs. They break down. Hence, TJ Yeldon, running back, Jacksonville. He only played 12 games, right? He had a little bit over total. He had over 1,000 total yards, 750 rushing and like 240 receiving. He had three total touchdowns. Are you buying or are you believing in TJ Yeldon, or are you just going to pass that whole situation since Ivory's there? But I think Ivory's like his grandpa or something.
You know what? It's scary that Ivory is there, and I would love to see in the preseason how this works out, although you never know with the preseason. Uh-huh. Because Yeldon did get a lot of carries last year.
Yeah.
He was getting the ball, and that's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
But what he did with him wasn't the greatest. I mean, it was better than...
And they have one more year with that offensive line, so hopefully it can gel, and they can have a little bit more to show for it. And because, you know, a lot of those statistics with the Jaguars, you know, what's the quarterback's name?
Oh, Bortles.
Yeah, Brian Bortles and those two awesome receivers, they came because they suck and they're always behind, you know? So, right. I don't know.
Well, what I was going to say about TJ Yeldon was that he was getting a lot of work similar to another rookie, Melvin Gordon.
Oh, okay. But Melvin Gordon wasn't doing shit.
Yeldon did a little bit better with his than Gordon did.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you were playing Daily Fantasy late in the year, then you knew that Danny Woodhead did very well for you and Melvin Gordon did not.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
How many words is hang 'em up?
Three.
Okay. Frank Gore.
Oh, come on. Hang 'em up,
bro.
Come on.
Are you kidding me?
I think if Frank Gore has 1,000 yards rushing this year,
he has kneecap transplants,
automatic,
bro.
Hall of Famer. I think he's automatic Hall of Famer.
You know what?
Now.
You know what? There's another interesting place where I can see Arian Foster landing that I would like, actually. You know, maybe Frank Gore just be like, I'm going to steal all the touchdowns. Touchdown vulture, you know?
Could be. He's good at the goal line.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, have Arian Foster play action. You line him up, that's crazy. Like, Arian Foster, Luck, T.Y. Hilton. And I think they have who they keep as at the tight end. Doesn't matter. We'll look that up later.
So are you buying any running back from Cleveland, Ohio?
That's too difficult. I tried to decipher it plenty of times. So I'm just staying away from the situation.
Right, right. I completely agree there. There's another situation where you would think that this running back is going to have opportunities because they're in an elite passing offense and there should be plenty of space for this running back to run, and this running back runs for the New York Giants, and his name is Rashad Jennings. What are we doing with that? That's a great offense. They score points.
Free agent. I'm not messing with them. I mean, even the Raiders need to get rid of him. So that tells you enough about him. I think really, honestly, here, I want to talk about a real interesting situation.
We'll see.
Okay?
About that. We'll see if it's real interesting.
Okay, so the Baltimore Ravens, remember that great year Justin Forsett had, 2014?
Great year, caught a lot of passes.
Yeah, I thought that was, you know, a mirage. You know, it was a facade, I guess. Now he's 30, and ESPN has him here at 26. I'm about to reveal to you guys the sleeper of the year who will not last. He's going to move up the rankings quick. And if he doesn't, just stash him because Justin Forsett will not last the season. Justin Forsett is ranked here, like I said, at number 26. Without further ado, I think you should load up on some Javorius Allen. He's a freaking track star from Florida, went to USC. He's 24 years old. He only had 6 starts. He had 514 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns, and 45 receptions. Now, we talk about how we like receptions, right? So,
man, you know, who likes to receive it.
You know, the Baltimore, Joe Flacco, he just came off a egregious, you know, I think he tore his ACL. I could be wrong. But I think it's going to be dump off city to that running back, Javorius Allen. I can't even really think, oh, yeah, they still have Steve Smith at wide receiver. Are you kidding me? Another guy. Hang him up, bro. And he's even admitted that he came back to catch 1,000 balls.
Man.
Just what do you think about Javorius Allen?
I think that's a good call. I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Number 68. I thought he was like in the top 40. And I was like, are you serious? Like, where is he? And I had to like punch him in on my find. I was like, what the hell? Number 68. Wow. I mean, I really think he's going to. I think sky's the limit for that kid, honestly.
So right around these rankings, we're in the low to mid 30s. We have a running back who last year was the darling of the preseason, and he got drafted way too high compared to where he performed. And his name is Ameer Abdullah, and he's a running back for the Detroit Lions. Are we drafting him this year? I mean, there's a lot of scorned lovers out there who drafted him way too early because he made some nifty moves in the preseason and did nothing in the regular season.
You know, I really liked them in Nebraska too. So, but just the fact that they have Ameer Abdullah at 34, at Theo Riddick at 39, it really tells you how much they don't know. I mean, Theo Riddick could end up being way more successful. Just the fact that he really is the ball passer there. He's the ball snatcher there. He's the running back that's going to catch balls there. And now with Calvin Johnson gone, they're really going to depend on, you know, some more screens. So I think Theo Riddick has more value. I'm going to say no. To answer your question, no, I'm not taking Ameer Abdullah.
Right.
I mean, they have Giovanni Bernard at number 33. And we just talked about how he has more value than Jeremy Hill, who's like at number 19.
Right. So now we're getting to the mid to late 30s. And these are guys who potentially could be your second or third running backs. And you want to be able to... Maybe if you stash someone earlier who's injured, or
yeah,
you
I think you're talking about handcuffs, bro.
Well, handcuffs and or risky number two or three running backs who you're hoping you can get something from.
I mean, because right
and
here,
one guy that I like,
mm-hmm.
who started off really well last year, actually most of the year, is D'Angelo Williams.
I think he's done. Another guy, he's 33, bro. I don't think there's much left in
the
tank.
30 is the new 20 for running back.
Well, he's 33. So, I mean, no, I think it's a wrap.
That's it?
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell's going to come out the gates, start the year?
Well, I was going to say, you know what? The Pittsburgh Steelers are in trouble, though, if they're really counting on him. So, I mean, and I don't know. I actually got to look into their offseason and see what they did to boost up their running back core, because they really let him down against the Broncos. We'd be sitting here talking about how the Steelers are world champions. I really do, in my opinion. Had they had a good running back,
Patriots would have beat them, but that's just my opinion. Okay, so you don't like D'Angelo Williams?
No.
I'm not high on the guy's name, the Atlanta running back.
Oh, Devontae Freeman?
I'm not high on Devontae Freeman.
Okay. His size or what?
I don't like
Tevin his size
Coleman.
Isn't adequate?
I don't like his size.
I'm sorry, I couldn't get past that.
Like Tevin Coleman either. I'm staying away from Atlanta running backs this year.
I don't think you should, bro. I think you're going to regret saying that because, you know, Matty Ice, I guess, you know, his game's really gone down the toilet. You know, so if it wasn't for Julio Jones bailing him out on, like, you know, 50% of his throws, I think they're going to use the running backs a lot, and they're really going to lean on Devontae Freeman. Their head coach did come from a pedigree of running the ball. He was an advocate of Pete Carroll. He won a Super Bowl with the Seahawks. I really think you're going to regret saying that, bro.
It's not like I think Matt Ryan's gone down the toilet. I think he's really consistent. He's good at home, and he sucks on the road.
I think you forget. I mean, last year we were contemplating, like, dude, Matt Ryan's available. Or, like, we're like, we got to cut bait. He sucks. Like,
true. All right. So there's a guy deep down on the list. Now we're starting to get further down. Number 40,
mm-hmm.
Carlos Williams. Well, Sean McCoy had some injury issues mm-hmm. at the end of last year. Carlos Williams came in and he looked great. And to see him this far down on the list, he's got to be more than a handcuff, right?
No, I was going to say, this is where we're at with the handcuffs. You know, we have, you know, Derrick Henry at number 36. That's the DeMarco Murray handcuff. We have, I guess if you trust Amir, you got to trust Theo Riddick. That's the handcuff there. Carlos Williams, the handcuff. DeAndre Williams, the handcuff to Le'Veon Bell. Tevin Coleman's handcuff to Devontae Freeman. Charles Sims, I guess, is a handcuff to, what's the running back from the Buccaneers? I know you love him. Muscle hamster. Yeah. You know, and then you have your Bilal Powell. I think he's probably the most awesomest handcuff ever.
Muscle hamster, Doug Martin.
But back to, I mean, wouldn't you say Bilal Powell's probably like the most awesomest handcuff ever?
You know what?
Especially if you don't trust the fact that Forte is going to be sticking around much this season.
Bilal Powell is really good when he gets the touches. And the only problem with Bilal Powell is he going to get the work? And when he does, can he hold up? Last year, at the end of last year, he did really good. But that's because they were down a lot. They wanted to pass. They needed to score. Chris Ivory is not that kind of running back. So they gave Bilal Powell the work. Is he going to get that same kind of work with Forte in there? Now, you and I both don't like Forte.
Yeah, I think he... I like Forte more than you do. But I still think that Powell will be a valuable entity. I'll say that.
I like him as well.
Let me say this, though. We started off saying, you know what, APs, get away from there. But it doesn't take a genius to say that if you are going to put your faith in AP, please draft Jerick McKinnon. Because not only will he catch balls, but he will take over duties should, you know, 31-year-old AP falter. Right, Isaac?
Right.
Definitely. So we're definitely right here looking. We're like in, you know, handcuff territory. Then you have your Andre Ellingtons, Chris Johnsons, Alfred Morris. Really a shame about Alfred Morris, man. I was ready to load up on him if the Dallas Cowboys had not taken Ezekiel Elliott.
Which I love Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, we're going back to the beginning of the list, but yeah, Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I mean, I really want to get my my spectacles on some preseason football, but as far as, like, I already gave you my sleeper. We talked about the top 10. Anything else you'd like to add, Isaac?
I don't know if he's going to get the work. This is a super deep sleeper. I still like Denard Robinson. And I know that Jacksonville they got Chris Ivory. Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
They have the rookie. Big deal. To me, the best running back, or the rookie last year, T.J. Yeldon.
Uh-huh.
To me, the best running back who's been in there has been Denard Robinson. He's going to be a free agent at the beginning of your league unless you have like an 18-team league.
There isn't too many of those.
There isn't. And one guy who I think might be interesting, this is a fantasy zombie, to use a term from a different podcast, C.J. Spiller.
C.J. Spiller, number 69. I mean,
that's an offense that's explosive, and he's an explosive player. He had exactly one explosive play last year.
No, you know what? I like that. I like that call because, like I said, we're going back to the top 10. I don't really trust that the former Heisman Trophy winner, Mark Ingram, will really last through the whole season, you know? And if they want to take care of him, they're definitely going to limit his plays on the field. So...
Right.
That's a good call.
And we know Darren McFadden's hurt, and we know Lance Dunbar got hurt last year, right?
Yes.
But whoever, let's say that Dallas does have a third down running back or whoever the relief running back is.
Maybe Fromo, Alfred Morris.
It could be Fromo. That's a guy you want to have, even if you do not own Ezekiel.
Yeah, that's the guy, definitely.
Because I think that offense is in for a big year. And with that offensive line, and hopefully if Tony Romo is healthy, those are some points. And like I said, I love running backs who catch passes because you never know. If it's junk time, they might get two or three passes at the end of the game. That could, two or three passes can equal 6 or 7 points, and that can mean the difference between winning and losing on any given week.
Well done.
All right. Any more to say about fantasy running backs?
Just be aware of your handcuffs. I'm sitting here. I mean, I'm looking at Spiller, and then right after that is Cameron Artis Payne. If you do take, you know, Jonathan Stewart, there's not a season that goes by where he's not missed maybe 3 games or his ankle's acting up, you know. So just be aware of your handcuffs.
Good. So be on the lookout on the blog, because our goal is to post some more of these picks. So hopefully Manny can get his name out there and get his picks out there and make you some money.
Definitely.
If you're interested in that. Really quickly, LeBron James, Cleveland Cavaliers, won the finals, won you a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
LeBron James, second base player of all time? Third, fourth, fifth, sixth?
Yeah, I guess we'll go second best. I really give him a lot of respect because nowadays there really is athletes. You know, back when Jordan played, Larry Bird was having beers after games.
Oh, I don't think. You can't. First of all, Bird won in the 80s, Jordan won in the 90s. Okay, by the time.
But Jordan was playing with those guys. He was playing with Bird. He was playing with Isaiah Thomas. You know, he.
And losing to them in the late 80s, by the way.
And you know what? I'm going to really start to wonder how much is coaching really worth, you know? Or is just LeBron the exception? You can't tell me that, like, you know, Tyronn Lue out-coached Steve Kerr, you know?
Well, the way Steve Kerr coached in Game 7, leaving Festus Ezeli there in crunch time, maybe he did. And maybe you're right. Maybe LeBron is just that great of a talent where coaching, you know, is not as important or as impactful. But it was a great finals. I'm glad you won some money.
Let me ask you something. As scary, as ridiculous as it might sound, are you scared that LeBron might have a second exodus from Cleveland? Because I've actually read. No, I'm sorry. I've heard that it might entice him to go win a championship with a third city and be the only person in the history of the NBA to ever do that. And I could, that would be awesome because
I think that would be awesome.
He has a house in LA. The Lakers would just hand the keys to the franchise, you know, and he would just be God, literally.
The problem is, I think he loves Cleveland way too much. And the way Kyrie Irving played in the finals, I think it showed him that he has a legit young
running
number
mate.
Two, mm-hmm. who can potentially take over to be the number one, because LeBron's going to be 32 in December. And
aren't you glad he's not going to Olympics?
I'm so glad. I mean, I've heard a stat where has the most minutes this point in his career besides Wilt Chamberlain, but that was a completely different era, different physicality
mm-hmm.
needed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Take a rest, LeBron.
I think
they should rest him a lot this year and let Kyrie.
I wonder why LeBron enrolled
over.
His kids in LA school.
LeBron's not leaving this year. Let's say they win again. I can see him because he's going to be a free agent.
I don't have the odds up, but the Warriors are actually favorites again.
They should be.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, and then just one quick thing: does Kevin Durant stay in OKC?
Yes. One more year.
Okay. Big shout out to my cousin Fernie Verde too. He said he wanted to get a shout out. So
all right,
keep them baseball picks coming. He threw me 2 picks. They're 2-0.
Eventually, we will talk about baseball. I can't say when or where or how, but maybe we might talk about baseball. I'm a big Dodgers fan. Manuel's a Giants fan. We somehow find a way to get along, so it can happen.
Yeah, it can work. Definitely work.
All right, and with that, we are out. Big shout out to all the people who are listening. There's about 4 or 5 of you. Keep it coming. We'll keep the podcast coming. Stay tuned.
Peace.
Enough Sports Gamble Podcast. Your mom's favorite sports gamble podcast.